Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sunday, Heinz Field, 1 o'clock. Steelers, Broncos on the call. Greg Gumbel, Rich Gannon, and the man we welcome in next. NFL on CBS. Jay Feely joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Jay, good morning. How's everything with you?
Good morning. How are you?
We are great. It's wonderful. No fans in Heinz Field. Nonetheless, we play football. And I'm going to throw a high, hard one at you just to get started, I guess. Is there a running back controversy? James Conner practiced yesterday. Benny Snell was great on Monday night. What does Mike Tomlin do on Sunday against the Broncos?
Well, when you look around the league and really where it's been going, to have two running backs isn't a controversy. It's a luxury. You know, look at no further than the Browns last night. You know, when you have two guys that you can put out there that you can spell each other, that if one gets nicked, the other guy can go. I think that's exactly what you'd like to have. And you can't ever have too many weapons, especially in today's NFL.
Colin made the comparison earlier, Jay, and I'm curious if this makes sense to you, to what the Browns have done with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and
right.
In particular last night where Chubb gets the bulk of the work, 22 carries, and really produces, but Kareem Hunt has 10 carries and a couple of catches through the air as well. Is that a blueprint maybe, regardless of who the starter is?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you'd like to have. And when you can bring a guy, when you can bring a guy in who's fresh, and you can bring a guy in who's been sitting on the bench, he's chomping at the bit to get in there, and the offense isn't going to take a step back. It's actually going to be better because that guy, you know, has a little more giddy up. I think that's great. And throughout a season, you're going to have guys that are going to get nicked, especially at that running back position. And to be able to put two guys in with different skill sets, I think that's, you know, that's exactly what you like to have.
Jay Feely, NFL on CBS, joining us here, Fan Morning Show. Is there enough time between, I guess, last night, even this morning, and kickoff, unlike the time with the anthem in Chicago with Villanueva, to have all this settle, the dust settle, and get past it before kickoff and it not be a controversy and impact this football team with this helmet stuff?
I don't think that's going to impact the team. I really don't. I mean, I think, you know, that's something that's much more involved in the media, and you could write stories about it. You could talk about it throughout the week, but I think inside that locker room, I don't think that's going to have an impact.
Jay Feely, the NFL on CBS, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. What did you think of Ben Roethlisberger's first game back from elbow surgery, Jay?
You know, I don't think anybody really knew what to expect. You know, at his age, what was he going to look like? I was pleasantly surprised watching him. Obviously, he's a little rusty at the beginning. You know, but as the game continued to go along, you saw a Big Ben that you're used to seeing throughout his career. You know, and I think if you're a Steelers fan, you'd love seeing that. You love seeing him back out there throwing the ball effectively, throwing it with authority, running the offense efficiently, you know, and going out there, getting a win in their first game, and that offense really looking good. And you got a lot of weapons, and, you know, it's exciting. As well as that defense played, as good as they are, as good as they played all year last year, if you have efficient quarterback play, then you're going to be in the hunt.
Follow us on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit at ShorkeyKia.com. Jay, and the guys that you've talked to around the league, and maybe in the anticipation of this game, you've played here, you've been at Heinz Field a bunch of different times. No fans in Heinz Field. Is there a quantification to that around the NFL, these home teams not having an advantage, or once the football's kicked off, it doesn't matter? Or is there something to it?
No, I think it certainly takes away from the home field advantage. I really do, especially a place like Pittsburgh. You know, and if you look around the league, you talk about like Seattle. You know, some of those stadiums where it's tough to go play. You know, where you have a great fan base and they're loud and they make a lot of noise. It's so easy for that away team to communicate, you know, offensively, when it would be difficult and you're having to do silent counts and now you don't have to do all that kind of stuff. And you have to generate your own enthusiasm. Mike Tomlin talked about that last week, because the Pittsburgh Steelers played with their own enthusiasm. They played inspired football. And, you know, that sometimes can be hard. You know, last week I was in Carolina and they were behind to the Raiders and they're trying to come back and it's a home game. And they're making a comeback, and normally, you know, they score a touchdown, then they get a stop on defense, and that crowd would be going crazy and be all in a frenzy, and there's nothing, you know, and it's just a little different feel. And I think those veteran teams certainly it can handle it better than the young teams that would feed off that crowd noise. And it's certainly different. I mean, it's weird sitting in the stadium. I could hear every word that was going on the sideline. You know, every conversation, you can hear it. Even out on the field, you could hear every word that was being said. So I think as you go forward, teams especially are going to have to be leery of defenses knowing what they're doing, the checks that they're making, offense, being able to put that together, because you can hear everything that's going on.
Jay, where's the weakness in the Steelers' front seven?
There isn't one. I think this defense is as good as anybody, you know, and they've got a number of different players. They've got depth. They've got talent. They can get after the quarterback. They can, you know, stuff the line. They're strong. They don't get pushed off the ball. I don't think there is a weakness. And this is one of the best defenses in the NFL.
We talked to Peter King the other day, and he said you go through all the names of the people, and it's not supposed to really be Bud Dupree who's the best player on the football field. He was last week. He was at times last year. Bud Dupree's starting to make himself a ton of money, I think, Jay.
Well, and he is. And he's becoming one of the better outside linebackers in the NFL. You know, and look at the guys that they brought in, from Joe Hayden to Minka Fitzpatrick, and how well they've played. And now you get, you know, T.J. Watt and Cameron Hayward, how studly he is. I mean, this is a defense that's just loaded with talent, and not just the front seven, but at every level. You know, and they make it hard. You have to work to score points. I mean, look at what they did to Saquon Barkley and how mediocre he looked. Or, you know, he didn't do anything. He wasn't able to generate any kind of momentum at all for that team. You know, and I just think, you know, they have the makings of a special defense.
Jay, to go back to Thursday night's game for just a moment, Mayfield looked much better than he did in week one, but Joe Burrow also didn't look quite as good last night, although he threw the ball, it feels like, 73 times. I'm not exaggerating by much there. Didn't look like he did in that final drive in particular against the Chargers. So where do those two sit in the hierarchy of quarterbacks in the AFC North right now?
Well, the key for the Browns is to be able to run the ball. You know, it can't be on Baker Mayfield. It was the same thing last year when they put the ball in Baker Mayfield's hands and they tried to throw the ball too much. They did not play well offensively. It was the same thing in week one. You know, they got back to what they do and the strength of their team, which is running Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, being able to use play action. You know, that's what they're going to do well. I think that's what Cincinnati struggled with. You know, obviously, they give Joe Mixon this big contract. They have to be able to use him. And he didn't do a whole lot last night. You know, and they throw the ball so much. They can't afford to continue to do that. And for Joe Burrow to be exposed as much as he was in that game because they're throwing the ball so much, that's not a recipe for success for them. And you know, I think, you know, Joe Burrow obviously has a ton of talent. Going forward, he doesn't look like the game's too big for him by any means. You know, Baker Mayfield, it's time for him to step up, you know, and to be a leader and to be a quarterback that team can rely on. He struggled all year last year. He struggled in week one, and it was good to see him play a little better last night.
Jay, we know, and everybody knows, back to Michigan, the great Michigan teams. You're on with Brady and all of those guys. Are we supposed to make a big deal about Brady and Bruce Arians, or is that just a coach coaching a player? What's the story here?
No, that's not. I played for Bruce, and listen, Tom Brady – took more heat internally at the New England Patriots than any star quarterback ever has. You know, you talk to anybody who was in those locker rooms, who was in the media rooms with Bill Belichick, he always ripped on Brady. Brady always deferred and let him do that. Now, Bill just did it privately. You know, he didn't do it publicly. But, you know, I think it's harder a lot of times when a coach does it privately in front of your teammates, you know, in that team meeting room. Most coaches do not do that to their quarterbacks. They don't want to hurt their confidence. They don't want to hurt their standing with the team. Bill Belichick always did that with Brady, and that was fine with him. So, you know, Bruce Arians saying a couple things publicly, that doesn't surprise me one bit. That's who Bruce is, and Tom Brady, he's not going to blink an eye at that. That's nothing.
How do you think they handle Cam Newton the rest of the year in Foxborough, Jay? Because it looks like they're ready to run the wheels off of him if that's what it takes to win.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're going to do. I don't think that they're going to hesitate one bit to utilize him and his skill set in any way that they think is going to help them win, really without a consideration for the future.
Last thing for you, Jay, before we let you go, and he's on the call, Steelers, Broncos. We go back and forth about Lamar Jackson on our show all the time. And you could speak to this great because you're on the field and see this. He takes a lot of hits, but then nobody ever gets a real great full shot at him. But again, he takes a lot of hits. Does he take too many hits, or is he going to be okay throughout the duration of his career?
So I love Lamar Jackson. I love the way he plays. I love the way he carries himself, the joy that he has. He told us a couple times last year when we were doing the production meetings that he had never really been hit hard his entire career at any level. You know, he took some shots last year, that's for sure. And your quarterback, you don't want him taking those shots. Those shots are cumulative. You know, they build up over time, you know, and they have a lasting impact on a quarterback. You know, and it was interesting because I was talking about it this week out in Arizona in regard to Kyler Murray, because Kyler Murray ran the ball so much and so effectively last week, but he wasn't hit one time. You know, he was able to run the ball, I think, 13 times and, you know, get almost 100 yards and not take a hit at all because he was getting down, he was getting out of bounds. And that's more sustainable than the offense they're running long-term with Lamar Jackson, because those hits are going to build up over time, and you're going to take hits to your shoulder and areas where, you know, you're not going to be the same that next week. And, you know, I just think when you look at long-term right now, this year, last year, this year, in the present, yeah, that's incredibly effective. It's so hard to defend, but long-term, I don't know how sustainable that is.
Jay Feely, the best. Big Ten football is coming back too, Jay.
So,
I know you're
fired
about
up.
That.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I know. Well, thank you much for the time this morning.
All right, guys.
We'll talk again soon, and appreciate it, Jay.
Great to talk to you.
All right. Really great stuff. Jay Feely. Don't worry about Brady, Chris. Don't worry about him. He'll be okay. Him and B.A. will
I don't know. Did you see Tom yesterday? He didn't seem too enthused about answering that question.
I know. This is – man, I hope – this is bad for me to say, but I kind of hope it all falls apart in Tampa.
You could tell that Brady got the message too, because at first he tried to dodge it by saying, well, is there a question in there? And then when the reporter rightly came back around and asked him about it, all he said was, well, he's the coach and I'm the quarterback, so it's going to happen.
Bruce Arians.
I love the drama.
Incredibly overrated football coach. There's my hot take for today. Incredibly overrated. They're penalized a bunch all the time. His teams are. His quarterback threw 190 interceptions last year.
Well, that's just because Jameis stinks. But he still walked into a room with Tom Brady and pulled it out and just slapped it down on the table and said, here it is, Tom. It's my team, buddy.
Well, you say it's because of Jameis. Why didn't the quarterback whisper last year then?
Oh, I think you could scream into Jameis's ear. He'd still throw 35 picks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.